Is there a John Luck Pickard here?
Stardate 9783.68. This is Star Trek Discovery Pod, the number one podcast about kicking your Tal Shiar ass. Is that what he says?
Something like that.
We're here to break down. Oh, all right. We're here to break down Picard Season 1, the finale. My name is Mike Moody, and my favorite fictional character who died and came back to life is Buffy Summers from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice choice.
Good choice.
And my name is Mariah Gossett, and my favorite fictional character who died and came back to life is Starbuck, a.k.a. Kara Thrice from Battlestar Galactica.
It's my number
Excellent
two.
Choice. That was my number one. But go with.
You're welcome.
Hey, guys, I'm Grant Davis. My favorite character who died and came back. Oh, Gandalf? Can I go with Gandalf the White?
Yeah.
I come back to you now at the turn of the tide.
Yeah, Picard's buddy in real life.
Yeah. Best buddy, Ian.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Claude Haynes, and my favorite character, I will say favorite, I went with a deep cut. I'm going Carson Beckett, Stargate SG-1.
Hell yeah. Ooh,
thank you.
Deep Carson cut. Is awesome, except you're disqualified because Carson didn't come back to life.
He was a
clone made of nanites. So
okay, so please, I would just switch that and say Daniel Jackson. Still,
well, I'm
Stargate
just, I'm dropping you off the stream.
Oh no! Oh, man.
And he's back, and now he's in the other corner.
Brutal.
Okay. Tonight we're focusing on the season one finale of Picard, Et in Arcadia Ego, Part Deux. Written by Chabon. With a story by Akiva Goldsman, directed by Akiva Goldsman. So before we dive into this episode of Picard, I want to let everybody know that we are currently streaming the podcast live on the YouTubes, and we're each in our respective homes following Austin's shelter-in-place order. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. You know, me, Mariah, Clyde, Marceau over there, we're all at home and podcasting remotely to keep everybody safe and healthy. We hope you guys are doing okay. We hope you're doing great during this really difficult time for everyone. But we just kind of want to provide you with some fun entertainment, some Star Trek analysis. And we're so glad you joined us live on YouTube. If you're just hearing this on the podcast, thank you for listening to the podcast. And we will probably, hopefully, be streaming live on YouTube when Discovery Season 3 eventually comes back or premieres.
The trailer was dope.
Yeah, the trailer at the beginning of this episode was really good. So we're looking forward to that. I know the post-production on Discovery has been delayed a little bit, but we're definitely going to be podcasting about it when that comes out.
Yeah, hopefully not too much of a delay.
Yeah.
I hope not. I
need some more track.
We do need all of the treks. And yeah, like Mike was saying, we're live on YouTube. So if you are watching live, make sure you join us in the chat. You can ask us questions and we'll address those towards the end of the podcast. So you can tag us at Star Trek Pod in the chat window or type POD in all caps before your question. That's pod so that we can kind of tag it and see it. So make sure you are having a fun little conversation and ask those questions towards the end of the episode.
Yeah. And if you're joining us for the first time, please visit us at StarTrekPod.co to subscribe to the podcast. And then you can listen to our back catalog. We've got tons and tons of episodes. So leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and we just might read your review on the show.
Another way you guys can help us out is over at patreon.com/StarTrekPod. There you can go and make a per episode pledge. Give us a buck or two per episode. And in exchange, if you give $2 an episode, you can join us over on our private Slack channel. It's super cool. And you get to talk with us all about Trek. And you may be thinking, but hey, Picard's just about over. Why would I bother? Because Star Trek Discovery Season 3 is coming. And we are if not as excited, even more so excited about that show coming back and discussing that. It's going to be a ton of fun. We would love for you guys to join us over there. Plus, there's a little bit of a new bonus going on where Mike and Mariah are discussing bonus podcasts. They've been talking about like the Best of 7 of 9 series. I don't know. You guys are talking about like Voyager and some other stuff. You keep trying to sucker me into watching.
Yeah. We're talking about the Best 7 of 9 episodes, a celebration of Miss Jeri Ryan. We just posted the first episode this morning, and it's all about the two-parter Scorpion, where the debut of 7 of 9. And it's the greatest podcast we've ever done, I think.
It's pretty great.
I feel like it also bears mentioning. You made a Marcel Marceau joke, but if you are watching the video, I tried my best to look like an android, to look like a synthetic, a data.
Look like a mime.
I slicked my hair back. I put white makeup on first and then put a gold over top, and you can't really see the gold. So, and then I realized I looked a little creepy, so I tried to draw on some eyebrows. That made it creepier, arguably. And now it's all drying because this is not actually face makeup. And last time I did this, I got a bad rash on my face. So we'll see how this goes.
Grant suffers for the pod. I can't wait till it starts melting off your face.
I just don't even look like a synthetic. I just look like a creepy mime.
All right, let's get into Picard.
Yeah.
The finale of Picard season one. Who's got some hot freaks?
Hot freaks.
Grant's kids are sleeping.
My kids are sleeping, so I got to say it quietly.
Okay. Hey, Clyde, you weren't here last week. I want to hear about a little bit about what you thought of last week's episode, but really, what is your hot freak for this episode?
So last week, I thought it was all right. I kind of enjoyed it, but it felt much like a setup, right? And I say setup. When I expect a setup episode, that means that you've raised the stakes on the episode that you're setting up. And while I did enjoy this one, I don't think the payoff was there. But I did like this episode. And you know what I'm going to say, Mike? I'm always a fan of the team up. And at the very end, I got the team. I actually got the team that I wanted, minus, you know, the Romulans left back in the chateau. Laurish?
Laurish, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But other than that, I think there were some great moments. You know, there's a whole kind of motif with kind of... Grant's distracting. A whole motif there with the idea of, like, parenthood. So you're looking at kind of Picard and Elnor, and then Elnor and Rafi. And so I thought it was interesting. I also just thought some of it was pretty obvious. Like I thought they telegraphed the whole, and I don't want to get too much into it, but the whole, you know, mind consciousness transfer. I mean, I think we all saw that coming a mile away, but overall, for what it was, I thought it was enjoyable. I'm glad he's not dead. So, I think much like Discovery, I'm more excited about season two than I am season one.
Yeah. Mariah, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I had like mixed feelings about this episode. I thought there was a lot of larger plot holes that I ended up having to go and like look up for half the episode. I was like, what the frick happened to Narek? Like,
oh, yeah.
He gets pinned down, and then I'm like, where did he go?
Apparently,
and just like,
Chabon addressed that online. He's like, oh, yeah, we didn't get around to filming the scene where the Starfleet police take Narek away. But that's what happened.
It was like a weird, it was something about like an editing choice anyway. So, yeah. And I'll talk about that when we deep dive kind of about my thoughts about that. But yeah, I thought they had some good emotional heartstrings. I thought the pacing overall was all right. I wish there was more space battle. I wish there was more kicking ass in general. But what was there I did enjoy?
There was murder.
There was murder. I also, you know, they got me with Rafi and 7 of 9 holding hands at the end. And they better not, in the words of RuPaul, fuck it up.
Grant, what are your feels?
I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag. I feel like ultimately this will be a pretty forgettable finale. There were some fun things. There was a lot of really corny moments or things that didn't really make sense or maybe pay off at the end. I'm still even kind of confused by why Dodge was sent a vision by someone to get Picard in particular to be her courier across space and then find her sister. Like, who did that? Like, what was the ultimate purpose of someone who had this vision for how to potentially save the synthetics or not? I feel like it was something introduced in the beginning and then go, forget about it. So I don't really know what that was about. The space battle was kind of cool, how it like Doctor Stranged out all those ships. But then I don't know. I thought we were kind of in for an actual space battle, not them firing at a bunch of mirror ships. So
flowers.
In a way that seemed a little bit like, yeah, okay. You spent the special effects, but it was all low stakes, no stakes, which is a little bit weird.
And lasers are expensive, Grant.
and then, you know, ultimately the whole payoff with Picard, I feel like they should have just one way or the other, but spoiler, having him just be brought back in the Golem felt kind of like, what was his sacrifice then? I don't know. That's ultimately where I landed. It was just kind of a little wishy-washy. What do you think, Mike?
I'm kind of with you. Like, there are a lot of feels, a lot of mixed reactions to this finale, especially on our Slack channel. This thing has been going off nonstop with conversations about this episode on Slack. And I understand why. Like the bulk of this season, this finale was just a huge mixed bag. There were some truly great moments. Like the scene between Riker and Picard was really cool. Even though it was kind of expected that Riker would be manning that ship, but it was just great.
Was it expected? Why was it Riker? They could have had any of the other guys be a cameo. Why was it Riker?
It was set up in the Riker Troy episode with a kind of a throwaway line, but
yeah.
But that was great, and Picard proving that trust and hope and respect can prevail over brute force and cynicism, even though that's kind of a trope. I think Patrick Stewart did a great job delivering that, and I really like the intention of that. You know, that's what Star Trek's all about. Even the attempt to give Data a proper send-off was kind of an odd but somewhat, you know, lovely sequence.
That was a whole thing.
It was kind of touching. It was kind of touching, even though it was kind of weird. But I don't know. Everything's Rios and Seven and Jurati, like turning her face into 100 emojis was great. That was really good. That's like my favorite part of the episode.
Of course it was.
But it was my favorite. But this all felt way too uneven, kind of sloppy, and frankly nonsensical to really like hit me into solar plexus where Shaboon wanted it, you know, me to feel it. So let's hope season two starring Robo Space Cop Picard is better. But let's dive deeper into this episode. Let's start with some positive. What did we like about this finale? I know I mentioned a few things, but let's kind of go positive for a little bit.
Yeah, I had so shout out to my spouse. Now that we both are working at home, I have to make sure I write down thoughts that he gives me while we're watching this, because I got beef for not giving him credit last week.
Give credit.
But he wrote down a piece of dialogue, and I agree. I think it was the best piece of dialogue, maybe of the whole season, definitely of this episode, where Picard says, "Fear is an incompetent teacher. Yes, they have life, but no one is teaching them what it is for. To be alive is a responsibility as well as a right." And I think that scene between him and Girardi was one of my favorites of the whole episode, because we finally got that sort of like true big speech from our captain, admiral, you know, like that motivation for why he's doing all of this. And I thought it worked.
He really sold
it. Yeah, he totally sold it. I thought it was really well done. I wish there was a little bit more just like, in the way it was shot, we kept going back and forth between the two of them. And I wish I'd gotten a little bit more of like their interaction rather than like a two shot, like, anyway, very nitpicky, but I thought that line of dialogue was really great and very necessary.
What about you, Clyde? What did you like? As I Matrix dodge out of that bullet of having to say something I like.
No, I thought there were some nice small moments, right? One, I just want to give a shout out to the actress who plays Soji Dodge, because her ability to really convince me that she was Soji in one moment and then the wicked Soji the next.
Like, mustache twirly Soji.
Well, I mean, the kind of wicked Soji was very wicked and very focused, where when she was actually playing Soji, it came across as naive and young and kind of new, and legitimately torn. So I thought that, so I did want to call out that acting. I thought it was pretty incredible. You know, I think one thing that we're seeing in this season is that you've got actors who have the ability to play multiple characters at the same time on screen, which was interesting. Though that brought up a question that I had about if Picard is trying to fly this ship, the La Serena, where are all the other EHs, right? The emergency navigator and engine, like, he didn't have to do it all by himself. So I was struggling with that a bit.
Maybe they hadn't fixed that part of the ship yet, was where my logic went, but
they had magic.
They had everything
to fix
else.
The ship.
Yes, they had super magic. The super nanobites.
Jesus. Oh, we're talking about stuff we liked. Sorry,
yes.
the knuckle duster purple sex toy.
I got more stuff I liked, so I can keep going. I thought a lot of the hand to hand combat and fight choreography was really great. I loved that fight. Between Seven and the sister, who I now just blanked on her name.
Narissa. I like Narissa. The kick.
Yeah,
the kick
that
was
final
great.
Kick.
Except that she can teleport. Isn't she still alive? Because she just went, teleport.
I hope so. I like her.
I thought she wasn't real. I thought she was just like an apparition or whatever. But she was actually on the Borg cube and on the planet the whole time?
I also thought she had been beamed off before the
cube. I was a little confused about how she got on that.
I have a question about Narissa. How come when she first sees Narek on the cube, she puts a knife to his throat and then she turns him around and be like, oh, it's you. And she gives him a hug. That's your brother, bro.
Also,
that's your brother, bro.
yes. Dead on.
Bruh.
Also, it's your bruh. Is this Borg cube smaller than my house? How does everyone find everyone in a minute? They walk in there and they're like, oh, there's all them just hanging out in the main lobby. And then
it was established
one
in
minute
episode 2.3 that Borg cubes shrink once they hit matter.
That's not true. Sorry.
It did look awesome. The special effects are still incredible on this show. I love seeing the orchids getting blasted in space. I thought just that opening scene of the Borg cube sitting in the water on that planet, it just looks so surreal and cool.
Good.
Yeah, I was like, new desktop wallpaper right there. Right. It just looked really neat. But that's a tiny cube. I don't understand how everyone finds each other like without any difficulty.
Well, and I thought Seven was going to have more control over the cube, right? I mean, she is a queen. So her struggling to have this battle with Narissa on her cube was a little bit like, really? Okay.
Whereas that battle was fun to watch, the breakdancing battle where Elnor and Narek all of a sudden start kicking synth and like doing all these spin moves was a bit much for me.
Narek did a pretty sweet spin move. I like that.
I was just waiting for Zoolander to be like, oh, they're breakdance battling.
And they were.
They were.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also really liked I was going to say I liked the soccer ball as the means for getting the explosive device in. I thought that was funny. Every time you threw it, though, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I needed a kick. I was really looking for, I mean, it's a soccer ball. Rios is it's his ball. Like, I expected something a little more, I don't know, soccery that was gonna happen.
I wanted him to kick it and I wanted Elnor to be like, goal, and then the thing blows up, you know? That would have been great. But nope, no goal.
That would have been funny. I think
Soji everything just caught it like
yeah.
Like it was nothing. Threw it up in the air and I was like, oh. Okay.
I think everything that the supporting players did in this episode was really fun. Jurati was a lot of fun. MVP for me. Surprise.
God, shocked. Dude. I'm you have shocked. Her poster on your wall.
You guys watching Devs? She's in that too. It's so good.
I don't know what's going on, but she's in it.
No, but she was great. I thought the pairing of her and Patrick Stewart was really good. They had a lot of, they have some chemistry there, kind of a, you know, his old, he's just this, he's like, I'm trying to fly the ship, fuck off. You know, he's just being this old, cranky son of a bitch. And she is scared out of her wits, but she's getting out of her comfort zone. It's really funny. It was a really good dynamic between the two of them. And everything with Rios and even Rafi. And I don't really care for Elnor as a character, mainly because the show has kind of given him short shrift throughout the entire season. But he was a lot of fun in this episode, too, as was Narek. So I'm really liking all these supporting players now. Like you're saying, Clyde, the team up aspect is pretty high now, and I'm looking forward to following this team into season two. I don't want to say surprised, but maybe I was 50-50 on whether or not Patrick Stewart would survive this season. Did you guys think that maybe he might not survive?
I did. At one point I thought, well, maybe it was a bridge. And I was actually for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes there, kind of excited about the Captain Rios show. And I was like, this could be kind of neat with this ensemble. And in that world, I would see them, Narek would actually be part of the team up. And
right. I totally thought they're bringing, it seemed like they're bringing Narek in as like, you know, a new part of the team. And I was like, ah, he's the bad boy that like won them over. Okay. I could be down with that.
Yeah, it's like Fast and Furious. They always bring the bad guy from the last movie into the team, and he's a good guy.
But like then Vok having
Discovery,
having Picard come back and not be cast as another actor, even though they totally had that golem growing a sweet black wig, like it could have been, I don't even know who, Loki or something, but yeah, it just ended up being him again. And they're like, we put you in your same body. And he's like, thanks.
Yeah, I'm 94 years old.
That's cool. That's really cool. No, you didn't want to make me immortal. Great.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about that resurrection. We obviously made fun of it at the beginning of this episode, talking about the characters we love that got resurrected, like Buffy Summers. But okay. What was your guys' feeling about this resurrection? Did it feel like a cop-out to you? Did you expect it to happen? Was it like Chekhov's golem for you? It's like, of course they're going to put Picard in it. And the fact that it happened, like Picard's death happened in the middle of the episode, I guess we all expected him to come back in some form. It just, you know, this just nonsensical, silly magic knuckle tool that fixes a ship and creates 1,000 ships and is just complete magic. And then we get Picard in the synth body, and it's just, I didn't like that, guys.
No.
I mean, I figured they were probably going to do, I mean, I agree. It was like Chekhov's like golem hanging out in there. It's definitely what they were going to use to push Picard forward. I wasn't sure what they were going to have the body look like or what that choice might be. But I assumed if Stewart has signed on for season two, then, you know, based on IMDb, he was already signed on for season two. So he was going to be involved in some way, shape or form. But I also felt like there was just a lot of, like, kind of how I addressed in my hot takes. There's things I would have rather have seen in this episode that I think would have made it feel more of a closer, like some more bows on some of these crazy knots that they've put out. Like all of Seven's work with the XBs. I saw somebody in the chat was like, what happened with the XBs? Seven was like, I'm going to protect them. And apparently another thing that got left on the editing floor was that the XBs have now become a part of like the synth community on the planet. And I was like, that would have been really cool to see. Cool.
Read the upcoming comic and novel tie-in.
So what? It's like just
probably right.
Just give me a couple of like, instead of that moth being all like Forrest Gump, the like feather dropping down forever. Like,
yeah, that was, yeah.
Like, give me a little bit of a montage of like what's happening besides everyone grieving for Picard. Cause like, I know that emotion is there.
They should have, I mean, what they did with him dying, that whole sequence, even as corny as it was like Trinity from the Matrix saying goodbye to like everyone for like 15 minutes while dying. It still was good. I was like, oh, you guys actually took a risk here. You killed off a really major character. In fact, the one you named the show after, mm-hmm. is it now going to be called The Connors? What are you going to do with this show? I don't know. I thought it was a bold move. And then for them to, like the good call would have been to hold off, have him dead for this season. And if you want to bring him back in the beginning of season two. Let season us not two, know.
Yes, like season two, the search for Picard.
Yeah, or yeah. Like, oh, like, what if it got revealed, like, that they actually had cloned him without the rest of his crew knowing at the end, and the synths were, like, holding captive this other synth version of Picard where he's kind of trapped in this synth body. That would have been super fascinating.
Yeah. It just felt like they had a lot of, like, emotional beats that they wanted to hit with Picard and with Data and with Soji mapped out, but they didn't, and the writers, especially Shimon, didn't really figure out the best way to get to those emotional beats and to make them really pay off and make them feel earned in this finale.
I've got to agree that, you know, Grant, when you were saying that you like the death, like Picard's death.
You like death mime?
the issue that I had was you did have this big, drawn out death scene that I thought was okay. But it because he's back and the way you brought him back was just so kind of flippant. Just it means that the previous scene didn't mean anything, right? Like when I think about something like Ned Stark dying in Game of Thrones, right? That left you with this sense of, wait, did they just kill off Ned Stark? Like you were almost expecting, oh, he's going to come back, and he didn't, and it left you at the end of that series. You're still like, I can't believe they did that. I thought that this was their opportunity to do that in this show.
Yeah.
But what I've seen in the entire show is they haven't really found their voice. Is it action? Is it long drama? Is it funny? Like it's kind of all over the place, and I don't think they've settled on this. This show is this.
This show has proven time and again it's relatively risk adverse. It just wants kind of a good, easy, middle of the road show, and their only edginess is really coming from dropping some F bombs. I mean, they killed Hugh, but it seemed like that was a relatively expendable fan favorite character, because we moved on two episodes later and it's like, Hugh, okay, whatever. Also, on an aside, I would just like to point out, I painted my face in this paint. How's and it it's really itchy. And we're in the middle of lockdown here in Austin, shelter in place. And what we're supposed to do is, you know, as all of you know, not touch your face. And so I am seeing every point where I have touched my face because the paint is rubbing off and I'm like, this is so itchy. And I feel like by the end of this, I'm just going to have all these handprints as like a PSA for how terrible I am at not touching my face.
You can touch your face after you wash your hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not going to wash my hands.
Oh, well, that's
on you. That's the problem.
It's not going to happen.
Good luck with that, Grant.
We have it on video evidence. Okay. So Mariah, Clyde, old school Trek fans, especially Clyde, TNG fan, what did you think about the reveal that Data is still alive and all he wanted to do was die to complete his journey of humanity? I liked the idea, and while it didn't completely emotionally pay off for me, there were some moments in that sequence that in which I did get really emotional.
I mean, Clyde, I'll let you think on it because I know you maybe have some more to say as a bigger TNG fan than I am. I thought there were, like you said, Mike, some successful moments in there that I really liked the conversation between him and Picard. You know, at one point I almost joked, I was like, get a room. But I was like, you're already in a room. So, you know, I like that they were both expressing emotion, which is something that I think Picard's character has really learned throughout this series, more so than in TNG, where we saw him being more emotionally detached from a lot of his crew. He's finally seeing like, oh, if I express myself and my individuality and my emotions, perhaps that's for the better. But I have to say the cutaway to Data in the smoking jacket with the cup felt, I don't know. It's that tonal thing where it felt right if this was TNG and old Star Trek, because yep. it's that kind mm-hmm. of cheeseball yep. moment we all live for. But within this series, it felt so weird to insert itself. And I like kind of liked it, but then I was like, what? How does this fit in right now? But I get why they did it. Anyway, it was, I had mixed feelings.
Yeah, I had some pretty mixed feelings as well. So I love the moment where Picard is expressing to Data that he wishes and wonders if it should have been him, right? And Data asks him, do you regret sacrificing your life for Soji? And he's like, not a minute. And, you know, not a minute. And he then says, well, why would you think I would? I thought that was a great moment. I thought the dialogue was true and strong. But it just brought up, again, so many kind of questions in the form of, wow, Data has been here for so long. And yet there's all this world that's gone on around him. Data spent so much of his life basically trying to procreate. His lineage, his descendants are all around him, and yet he can't quite touch it. And nobody's addressing that, right? Like, we all think of Soji as his daughter, right? Or his granddaughter or whatever have you. And yet there was no attempt to kind of bridge that gap. So that felt just like there were some moments, but it was like, okay. But I like the fact that, you know, in his humanity, he didn't want to live on forever. So it was kind of hit or miss for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, Data completing his arc as a mortal being, which is what he always aspired to, by asking for death, that was touching. And Brent Spiner was really wonderful in that scene. He was still kind of detached like Data always is. But Spiner was still able to emote a little more than we've ever really seen him emote. Just enough to make all of his lines seem really profound. I mean, obviously when he had the emotion chip in some of the movies and he's like mm-hmm. saying shit like, oh fuck, and freaking out, he was emoting. But this felt honest to me. Mm-hmm. It felt like an honest story. Like the themes and the emotional beats that were hit in this final episode, I really like where the writers were coming from. I like where their heart was to get us to these emotional beats with Picard and with Data, and making their relationship such a key piece of this finale and this series. I love that. I just am not a fan of the clunky construction and the plot mechanics that got us to those moments. It lessened the emotional impact for me in that scene and in the scene where Picard passes and is reborn. Like, I had to really think about it like an hour or two after I watched the episode to make the connection of like, oh, maybe what they were trying to say is with Picard being resurrected in a synth body, that's him finding true closure and acceptance of the idea that he was once a Borg. You know, he was once part synthetic, and now he didn't choose to live in this synth body, but he's accepting it and he's moving on and seeing the positives from it. Like, that wasn't clear in the episode or communicated at all. But
wasn't it, you know? With all the billion butterfly motifs of the whole metamorphosis thing they're alluding to?
I know, but I had to like make that connection myself. It's like, oh, he used to be a Borg and he had problems with that. Okay. I don't need them to spell it out, but it just wasn't there is no elegance in this storytelling for me.
I mean, I definitely felt like there was something cathartic about him getting to talk to Data. As they established in the very beginning, he doesn't want to let go. He's still holding on to the pain of his worst memories that he's still reliving, how he felt bad that someone like Data would sacrifice their quote-unquote life for him, and that he got closure on that by interacting with Data. It felt important. It felt like a good tie-in to what was established at the very beginning of the season. And it also, like, Data's whole speech about what it is to live and the beauty of life very much echoed a lot of my favorite parts of what we all recently just watched with The Good Place. Not to go into any spoilers about the finale itself, but I think like the series as a whole was really exploring what it is to be alive and to experience the afterlife and the kind of ramifications of all that. And it really echoed here in a way that I thought it was well done. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, ultimately, you see Picard kind of come to a place of understanding of what it is to still recognize himself, even if he's not in his own shell, if he's taken over by Locutus and has to kind of reclaim what is him, what is his identity, if it's a matter of him now in a synth body trying to reclaim what is him. He seems much more at peace than before when he was kind of paralyzed by it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I want to call out something that I saw in the chat from Carolyn, and that is just... I agree that I thought it was a little interesting that Data, his desire was really to have this humanity and therefore this ultimate mortality. And yet what we've seen with Picard is, you know, whether he asked for it or not, because technically he didn't ask for it, he kind of reveled in the fact that he's kind of immortal and not immortal, right? And yet... everything I think that we love about synths is their superhuman nature, right? That is part of the coolest things when we think about the androids that we love. They almost always have superhuman strength or speed or ability to calculate things and do things really fast. And Picard has none of that. And it's kind of a letdown. I mean, I think I would have been more interested in Super Picard.
We gave you no super abilities in your old body. What more could you want?
But everything works.
Yes.
We checked out your dick. It's good. Okay.
Tell you I had a small panic attack when I thought they were going to pan out and it was going to be a naked Patrick Stewart. And I was like, I'm not ready for this.
No. Did you see those sexy little undies he had on though?
That man is velt.
Yeah.
He is very svelte.
Yeah.
He got that at Me Undies. Is this where we do our advertisement?
Our advertisement? Yeah.
So if Me Undies is looking for a podcast to sponsor, we're open.
They look at us. They're like, no.
No.
Not this guy.
Not with that guy.
Grant, you're going to have to sterilize your hands and face just like tried to sterilize that planet.
You know what? That's another thing I did appreciate. I like that she came down there and like they tried to do all these distractions and she was like, oh, it looks like there's only one little civilization here. She's like, kill the whole entire planet. We're not even taking any chances. Like, she was cutthroat. She was focused on the task, like just eliminate them. I think her big mistake was that when Picard popped up with his mirror army, she was like, oh, let's engage them first and destroy them. Like, no, don't look out for you guys. Your mission is that you saw the extinction of all of living life, right? Like, it should be worth your sacrifice that you guys all beam that planet and just destroy it. And that's when she no longer seemed like a zealot, when she was willing to kind of accept the fate and that vision that she saw. She shrugged it off and was able to like turn around and I'm like,
twice, well, Grant.
What do you believe in? What was
she
the whole point?
Twice,
right? I don't get it.
What did y'all think of Riker's entrance?
I loved it. I thought it was one of my favorite parts of the episode. I mean, it was corny and kind of TNG, you know, but it was one of the corny things that worked for me.
Who doesn't love Riker, right? Like, that was one of the best things about the episode to me.
It looked like he trimmed his beard. He looked a little more,
you know, clean more cut. Starfleet Command, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have wild sex hair anymore.
Frakes was clearly just having a blast sitting in that chair and being back on TV. And I interviewed him about a decade ago for something really minor when I was a freelance journalist. And he was like, it was some TV project he was directing. And he was promoting the TV project, whatever it was. It was like The Librarians, that show. Mm-hmm. And I asked him like two or three questions about that, and I just went all into Riker questions. But he was so happy to indulge me. And of course, my last question was, you know, Star Trek is over, TNG's over for you. The last movie, Riker leaves the Enterprise, and he's off, and he's married, and his arc is ended. But I know some fans would like to see him back. Would you like? I didn't even finish the question. He's like, "Oh yeah, I want to come back." He's like, "I want to be Riker again." Yes, yes, yes.
Please.
Yeah, and I could see his joy sitting in a captain's chair in his brand new spaceship, telling off the Commodore O that, you know, I have the biggest, baddest, you know, ship in the fleet, and I got 10 more surrounding me, so we're gonna fuck you up. He was so just basking in the moment, in his glory moment, and it worked for me so well.
So he had like one of the best ships, right? The Zing.
The best. Yeah.
Who's supposed to be the captain of that ship, and who did he bump off? Who's like, dude, I earned my ship and you're just gonna come take it so that you can...
Maybe it was that unseen captain that's always texting with his daughter. He was like, yeah. Hey creep, I'm taking your ship.
But is this like a common thing in Trek? Like, was Picard or Shatner constantly getting kicked off their ship because some big dog was like, I'm taking over this, I'm going
to
be...
It happened once or twice to Picard, and yeah. Shatner was always doing it to other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess Pike did it, right?
Yeah.
Pike came in on Discovery and was like, I'm kind of taking over.
It happens.
I was really hoping that this ship was going to be the Titan ship from the novel series, but no luck.
No luck.
Maybe it was there because there was a gazillion ships. And I did like when he was like, you know, weapons hot and shields on high or whatever he said. That sounded very Riker-y. But like when you saw all of the ships like kind of morph blue at the same time, I thought that looked really cool. And I think that's why I was the most disappointed was there was no Federation versus Romulan space battle. Like just a little bit. A little bit.
One of them just like accidentally pushes a little firing pulse cannon, whatever weapon.
Right. Like they're in space and battling while the open channel is going and Picard is talking Soji into being a better person and being a human and, you know, turning into her mortality and understanding why we all need to exist. You know, that would have been so much more epic if that conversation was happening with a giant space battle.
You also have O, who has been a longtime mole and traitor in Starfleet for the Romulans.
And they just let her go.
And you just let her go. Like, I for sure thought she was going to be killed. Like, that was a death that just had to happen. And you're just like, hey, I'm giving you a chance to walk away. No. Blowing you out of the sky.
Yeah. There were obviously tons of Easter eggs in this episode, but the one I really keyed in on was when Data's ready to die and he's in his I'm going to die robe. He puts on
his smoking jacket.
Yeah. He puts on Irving Berlin's Blue Skies.
Yeah.
Which he sang famously in Star Trek Nemesis at Riker's wedding. And it's just such a memorable scene from that movie. And there were some notes of Blue Skies played in the premiere of Picard when Picard and Data are talking in Data's dream. That was really nice. And I think this is right. I think the actress who plays Soji, Issa Briones, sang this version of Blue Skies that they played.
Really?
Yeah.
Impressive.
Love that.
Yeah, it's actually the second time I've heard that on a finale this week.
Oh, so. Really? What was the other one?
So Gerald McRaney from Major Dad, he was a guest star on This Is Us, and he sang Blue Skies as well this week on their season finale.
That guy is on every show ever.
He is. And you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah. Take Put him on Star Trek.
Oh, so, I love that.
You remember the scene where Song, he sees the video where evil Goldface Soji killed the other Goldface girl. Mm-hmm. And
Saga.
He knows she's evil or whatever. And he goes to confront her and he's like, you know, I thought I taught you better about this. And it turns out he's okay with that whole plot, just that she should have been a little bit better at her deception and had Narek do the killing, right? So she wasn't on camera. There should have been no trace. It seems like they made a bunch of those mistakes. Like, they shouldn't have been trusting Soji so much that she's the one in charge programming or walking in and out of Picard's office so that he can try and brainwash her and indoctrinate her. And then Jurati just gets to, like, kind of amble about wherever she wants. Like, I kept thinking they must be playing some other game where they're trying to get Picard's people to manipulate the system in some way, because they actually do want them to destroy this so that it galvanizes all the synthetics in a war or something. I don't know. But it ultimately just ended up that the synthetics are all idiots.
It wasn't that complex. Yeah, I was looking for complexity that was not there. And I think that's just that's really telling of kind of how lazy some of this plotting and storytelling was.
I didn't think he was like, you shouldn't have been more careful. I think he had his eyes open to, like, oh, I've also been brainwashed by this, like, magical golden woman. And now I'm telling her, like, hey, I found out your secret subplot. And now I'm turning you
off. Was he not in on it? I guess he, yeah.
I didn't think he was in on it. I thought he, like, saw it and was shocked and was like, oh my gosh, now I don't think we should kill all humans because they didn't kill my beautiful creation. She did, you know? I thought it was
Some reason I read that as like, oh, he is still evil. But then, you know, he's there waking up Picard and I didn't, you know, go back to that same thought.
That's not, it's odd with the Soongs, you know, they're always just kind of morally gray. And sometimes in Star Trek history, they'll be played as kind of heroes and kind of villains. It's always weird. Like they say in this episode, the Soongs are an acquired taste because you can never quite trust them, even though they're typically on the good guy's side.
Right.
They're tricksy.
I loved how Picard does this noble act where he's like, I'm going to sacrifice my life for the synthetics so that they recognize how valuable they are and that they don't have to, you know, kill all of humanity. You can do this noble act for them, right? So he's like, he tells her, like, Soji, I'm going to show you by laying down my life for you. And then I look over at Jurati, who's like, wait, our lives?
Like, me too? What?
I'm on the ship too. Did you not consult me about this at all?
Yeah. Shebon, do not kill Jurati.
What did you guys think about the crazy arms of the, like, synthetic life coming from the other universe?
That's silly.
The Lovecraftian Matrix bot.
Yeah. Like, that was the threat. That's how they personified the threat. I mean,
it was just like,
it's kind of silly.
To get you.
Yeah.
It should have just been like an outpouring of nanobots that, like, you ain't going to stop those nanobots.
I guess they needed something that could easily be sucked back in the hole when they closed it. But it was just like, I like that it looked very doom and gloom and whatever's happening. And you're like, ooh, that's the bad place, you know, don't want to go there. But I still, I don't know. I guess it's not what I expected. I expected them to look less mechanical and
less wormy. Yeah.
Well,
guys, I thought it was a lot of work for not a lot of payoff.
It's really convenient that this godlike synthetic race that can destroy every organic creature in the galaxy can only get around with inside this one portal that has to be created by another lower being by doing some kind of 3D Jenga, you know? So they're no longer a threat because we closed the portal.
I mean, I assume it still exists out there, that nightmare tentacle monster.
Yeah.
Can somehow destroy everything, but it can't get through that door.
It's like the
foiled aliens. By a door.
It's like the aliens in Signs. Just throw water on them.
Yeah. I thought an actual race of aliens coming to almost have, I don't know, broker a deal would have been more intriguing, right? Something more like, okay, wow, here's another race. Almost, even if it was Borg-like, right? A super powerful race that got a glimpse and now is curious and is out there. That would have been interesting in the long run. I mean, the space tapeworms are just kind of like, okay.
Now space tapeworms are like that.
That's not me. That's somebody from the chat.
Do we want to jump into the chat?
Yeah, I was going to say someone had a good question I saw about Narek essentially being a washed out Zatvash. I'm sorry, I lost who it was. But if you asked that question, that was a good question.
Oh, yeah. Like Narek gives us this... his big emotional backstory in a 30-second scene that just didn't land emotionally. It's like, I don't know, like build the character up, let us know about this backstory beforehand so he has an actual arc.
I think the biggest problem of that scene was he's obviously desperately seeking some sort of validation from Narissa. And she basically just like kind of ignores him. So we, the audience, don't get any kind of payoff of a confrontation and showing why that conflict has hurt him so much. And so she's like, all right, go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. Bye. Ignores him, goes back to computing. And I was like, well, then we, the audience, don't feel his pain as much.
Yeah. And exactly. I was like, it was almost like what my theory is, I have no idea if this is right, is that he did not see the vision. Like, you know, all of those other characters went and saw the admiration or whatever. He didn't brave seeing it for some reason. And so now he's trying to prove his validity by being like, I found the destroyer, so be nice to me.
Right.
So.
Oh, but I really enjoyed the part where Narek is describing Gamadan.
Like, yeah, that was good.
It was like he was singing a Rush song. There were two sisters and one was beating the skin drum children with skull things. I was like, yes.
And then her heart exploded.
Her heart exploded and the other one blew a horn with there was 1,000 days of rain and pain. Anyway.
Now the mind makeup is working for you.
It felt super metal and it was kind of badass.
Carolyn K3 says, doesn't Data embracing mortality and death make it strange that everyone else wants Picard to dodge death?
What's this fancy shit you just put on the video?
I don't know. I just clicked the button.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, what do you guys think about that? Data embracing mortality and death. And on the other hand, Picard just comes back to life.
I don't think he's really dodging death as he is prolonging death. He feels like he's got more left to do on this planet or on this galaxy or in, you know, whatever. I'm losing my brain now. I was about to say planet. And I was like, we're beyond a planet. but yeah, I think he just feels like he has more to do because he was even like, I could use another 10 or 20 years, which I don't know what the average lifespan is of a human at this point in time. But obviously it's well past 94.
Yeah,
it's probably not 114.
I don't know. There's people who live to be like 111 now. So,
yeah,
Patrick Stewart ain't got that in him though.
But he's actually 94. He just isn't the show.
But for real, I'm actually surprised he's coming back for a second season.
Yeah,
I am. I'm just surprised.
And once again, I agree. I feel like they wrote a story where he was supposed to get the send off. And then Patrick Stewart went, I'm having too much fun. Let me stay on. And they're like, ah, shit. Okay. There's a golem.
Could there be a golem that I can teleport my brain into?
It's too late. I'm in the golem already.
Yeah. And I'd say Shoopy in the chat makes a good point. She said Picard didn't ask to be put in the golem. You know, everyone else sort of decided for him that he wasn't allowed to die, which I guess technically they also didn't let Data choose if he got to die either until now because they saved his memories for so long. So in reality, other characters are choosing the death of these main characters.
I think it's interesting that we had this moment where Soji talks about, you know, I don't have, you know, you don't give us a choice. You choose for us. And then that's exactly what they did to Picard. They chose for him. Right. So, into how long he would live and everything else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Chupi says Picard didn't ask to be put into the golem. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Phil R says, do the synths still know how to build another beacon? That's what I'm saying. Some of them might still want this to happen. Just bring them back.
Or another golem. Can they build another golem?
Who's looking after them? Is it all the human Song who's supposed to be their guardian now that Goldface girl is dead? Saga?
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's who's a good the question. Conscious of them? The XBs?
Maybe. Yeah, read the comic, Grant. That's coming out next month. Maybe.
No! I'm not going to do it.
Wasoha says, where do you think they can take this crew next season? Will they still be following loose threads from season one, or are they flying off to something entirely new? Will space tentacles ever return?
Please, yes.
I don't ever want to see another new space tentacle.
I wouldn't mind a space tentacle or two. Give me a good new villain. I think we're probably not, this probably isn't the last we're going to see of Commodore O would be my thought.
Yeah.
I also think now that Seven is a part of like the main crew, that there's going to be something going on with perhaps trying to get more XBs. Like perhaps they're on sort of like a mission to de-Borgify more and more folks, but they're on a non-Federation ship, so they can kind of do whatever they want. So I think someone in the comments mentioned like they're all kind of just Ferris Rangers at this point, which sounds like a fun show to me.
I'd watch that show.
Where are they heading off to? What's their mission? What are they doing? Exploring like we did in TNG? And also for the space tentacles question, the only space tentacle I ever want to see again is the one that comes out of Riker's pants.
Whoa.
Wow.
I watched
this. What are you writing on your forehead, Grant?
I watched this whole episode and I just kept thinking about how Mariah had a better episode that she had scripted for us, where we had everyone, all of humanity die, and then it picks up with Star Trek Discovery season 3 having to save humanity. That's what I wanted to see.
I'm sorry, I ruined it for you.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good
you one. Did, but I kept thinking about how I wanted your plot. It was so good.
So CBS, I am available. I'm pre-WGA. Let me know. I have writing samples.
So yes. Mariah, this might be a good question for you since you and I have been talking about Seven of Nine for a while. Marge says, any thoughts on Seven's fatalism? Her opening conversation with Elnor, she says, put a phaser to my head. I liked her arc here. What did you think about that whole conversation?
Yeah, I think she's tired of, you know, she plugged back into the Borg for a moment and felt that power. And I think it scared her. And so I think coming out of it, she was like, I don't need more folks to needlessly die. And then she did it to Narissa. And I think she was like, well, maybe I could have saved her. You know, if everyone thought they could save me from being a Borg, why can't I also see that in people as well?
Yeah.
So I think it speaks to the fact that she's done a lot of just like shoot 'em ups, you know, as a Ferris Ranger. And even her ex-girlfriend that she, I'm calling it now, it's her ex-girlfriend that she killed this season. You know, I think she is tired of being the murderess.
Vajazzle?
Yeah, Vajazzle.
Vajazzle, I forgot about her.
Yeah, so I think she's looking for some redemption and some opportunities to pass on what has been done to her and folks seeing the good in her. And if you all tune into our Patreon episode, we talk a lot about the
Vajazzling.
Not vajazzling, but individuality and friendship as it comes to taking folks out of the collective.
I do think that it was they did a pretty good job of this redemption arc for Picard, in that he had failed the synthetics, or he had failed the Romulans in saving them for using Starfleet. And now he has redeemed himself by saving another civilization of the synthetics and validating that their existence is more than as just robot slaves.
I like cannot look at you while you talk, Grant.
It's so distracting. All right.
I wrote Data on my forehead and I had to do it backwards because there's a mirror. of the camera.
Some angles, it just looks like it says cat.
Clyde.
I've got to run. I got a hard stop, but I just want to say this has been a fun season podcasting with you guys. I can't wait to jump into some Patreons. To those of us who watch us live and those of us who listen, keep being part of this incredible Star Trek community, and we'll definitely see you for Discovery. All right, guys, gotta go.
Bye, Clyde.
Bye.
Bye.
Whoa.
How dare he?
Check this out. Chris Ng has a funny comment. Well, it's funny to me. He says, Picard having more to live for and more that he wants to accomplish fits with his hubris.
I mean, I want to talk more about Home Chicky Pod. What about everyone being romantic at the end?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
What here was this? For it.
Is this the real world, whatever that spaceship is called edition?
The real world La Serena.
La Serena, yeah. It's just like, oh, everyone's hooking up and holding hands. There's Rios and Jurati, and then you have Raffi and Seven, and then you have Picard and Elnor, and you have...
Picard and Elnor. He does touch his face rather dramatically, doesn't he, when he dies?
Oh, my young ward.
So what do we want to see from this potential Seven and Raffi situation? Guru... Ugh,
everything.
Guru tugging my puta. Is asking about it.
I don't want any more queer baiting. I want what we get on Discovery. Yep. I want a real relationship on screen. I am here for it. I think it will help Raffi's arc immensely to have a romantic partner and not just to be seen as this like fucking quote unquote absentee drug addict mom. Here for it.
Yeah, I would love to see her relationship with Seven explore kind of her damage and insecurities and her mommy issues, I'm guessing, her own issues as a mother. Especially, I thought it was kind of comforting seeing that one scene where Elnor is sad and she hugs him and she's like, you're my new son, basically. It's like, yeah, okay, that's interesting. But now that like her conspiracy stuff has been validated, is she going to be able to move on to a little bit more of a healthier place in her relationship? And then what kind of, I don't know as much about Seven of Nine, but I'm wondering what kind of baggage she's going to bring to that kind of relationship.
Oh, like, yeah. I imagine lots of alcohol still being involved and them having some bad points in that relationship, but I want to see all of it. I want it to get messy.
Will they get together? Will they break up and then they'll be stuck on the ship and then they'll get back together kind of thing? Like, exactly. How's it going to work?
Yeah, I wonder if Jerry Ryan is going to become a full-fledged cast member or will only get her in like two or three episodes next season.
I hope she sticks around. I think she's probably the most interesting. Her and mm-hmm. Raffi are two of my faves from this season.
Well, I have a question then for you guys. And make sure you pop this up in the little visual bubble at the bottom. Who would you like to see from other Star Trek shows make a cameo in season two?
Mm. Mariah, you go first.
I mean, if we're going to pull some more folks from Voyager, I'd love to see a Janeway moment just because I know like Jerry Ryan and Kate Mulgrew have since like buried the hatchet. So I think it'd be nice to see them on screen again.
They say they've buried the hatchet, but Jerry Ryan's going to be like, nah, fuck her.
Good job.
Yeah.
That's accurate. That's what I said.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always down for more cameos. I know they've asked Whoopi Goldberg to be back as her character, so I'm hoping we get some cool like planet bars. You know, maybe we get to explore some more deep space stations.
I want to see some characters that have challenged Picard in the past, like Ensign Ro from TNG. She's a Bajoran who became part of a terrorist cell. After leaving the Enterprise and always challenged Picard and very much a hothead, but really a really strong character, and was played by Michelle Forbes from Battlestar Galactica, who is fucking great. I would love to see that. Also Worf, because, you know, who doesn't love Worf?
Yeah,
we need like Worf and Geordi on there because I know who they are.
What I don't want from Worf is Worf like having a scene where he explains why the Klingons look different from the Discovery Klingons.
Yes, I want that scene. I want it so heavy-handed with him holding like diagrams and really trying to justify
like,
that.
Like Doc Brown at the chalkboard. And
everyone else
too.
Is like, honestly, we don't give a shit.
Who cares? You're fine.
I think seeing Shatner's head in a jar would be cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I am still around. Yeah. I don't know. Did he die in the show? He did die?
Yeah. Malcolm McDowell killed him.
Oh.
Threw him off a bridge.
Fair. What about is Commander Kirk, though, still alive? They killed Shatner, but...
Right. They were both killed on that tragic day. It was Shatner's birthday, like 2 days ago. He was like 90.
Yeah.
What?
He's like the same age as...
Picard in the series?
Picard, yeah, Stewart.
Oh, Phil R. said he'd like to see Kira Nerys. I would also like to see Kira Nerys. She's from Deep Space Nine, and she is a kick-ass Star Trek lady.
Oh, guys, you guys definitely need to subscribe to the Patreon and be supporters, because I just watched my very first episode of Deep Space Nine this week in preparation for Ladies Who Kick-Ass series. It's going to be dope.
All right. I do want to mention, everybody, we've set up a hotline to take your comments and questions where we got a few calls. But if you want to talk about Picard season one and you have comments and questions, just call 833-TREK-POD. That's 833-873-5763, I think. The hotline will be open until Wednesday evening, March 1st. So we'll play your voicemails. We'll answer your questions. We're going to have a fun, just kind of a loose voicemail hotline episode next Thursday. We'll probably do it live on YouTube as well. So cool. We'll be playing your calls online or on the stream, and that'll be next Thursday. So call 833-TREK-POD. The voicemail, I think, lets you leave a 2-minute message. Don't use a whole 2 minutes, though.
Keep it short. Be in a quiet room if you can.
30 seconds.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
And if you have anything to say about, like, Star Trek in general, or about what you want from the third season of Discovery, or whatever.
Or what you want from us.
Or what you want from us. Leave those voicemails too. Give us as much voicemail content as you can handle. That sentence went nowhere. But just leave a bunch of messages for us and we'll make shows out of them, because we are kind of in this holding pattern where we're waiting for Discovery season 3 to premiere. But we do have a lot of cool stuff for you on Patreon. Mariah and I, like I said, just recorded our first Best of 7 episode. We're going to go through all the greatest, all the best 7 of 9 episodes from Voyager. So we're diving back into Voyager. If you join us at patreon.com/StarTrekPod, you'll be able to check those out every week. We're also doing a series about the kick-ass women of Star Trek. So we're going to center on episodes about Janeway, about... Jadzia Dax from DS9, about Kira Nerys. And I didn't put any T'Pol episodes on the schedule because I don't really watch Enterprise.
I have some T'Pol we can add.
Okay. Mike can't handle it.
I mean, suggestions for my spouse. Okay. And then I also recently watched, and I think we should do an ep, it is from the animated series. Oh, okay. And it's a really dope episode where Uhura really takes control of the whole situation, and it's nice. An all ladies kicking ass episode. It was great.
All right, put it on the schedule. Listeners, viewers, thank you so much for joining us during this first season of Picard.
Thank you.
We had a blast covering these episodes, hanging out with you online. We are ready to do it all again when Discovery season 3 premieres. Apparently, like everything on TV, season 3 might take a while to show up on our TVs, but
so
we will be
all
here.
The good vibes to post-production.
All the good vibes. They're all working from home like most of us. So we
maybe
can't
I'll
wait.
Watch one of those movies with you guys in the interim.
All right. Yeah.
Like Revenge of the Sith or something. I haven't seen all of them.
Revenge of the Sith's pretty good. Spock's not in that one though.
No.
All right. It's find us at patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Join up and get all our bonus content, and join our private Slack channel. Like 24/7 Star Trek chat going on there, tons of different channels, people talking about the books, about the series, about the movies, about theories about Discovery season 3. Watch parties happening every week. Super cool. So StarTrekPod.co to subscribe to the podcast, patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Star Trek Pod to support us on Patreon. All right, it's time for us to beam on out of here. Mariah, where can we follow you on the internet?
I'm at Mariah Gossett on all social medias. That's Mariah with a Y and Gossett with two S's and two T's. And when I am awake on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. Central Time, I have been live tweeting the original series watch party that's been going on Twitter. So if you follow along with me there, you can watch me argue with nerd dudes about why characters are chads. So,
Grant Davis, where can we find you online?
You guys can check me out over at Baron Von Grant. I'm on Twitter and Instagram on that handle. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm just going to make bad jokes or shit on Trump. So if you're into that, go ahead and follow me.
Follow. You can you can follow the pod on Twitter and Instagram at Star Trek Pod, and follow me on Twitter at Mike Moody. Engage, make it so, live long, and prosper.
Bye. Bye.
Sometimes you just have to bow to the absurd.